I've called a meeting to order, and can we have the roll call, please?
Mike Army.
I'm
Director
here.
Army, sorry, Director.
That's okay. Just call me. Don't call me late for dinner. You can call me anything you want. I'm good.
Palmer, I can remember your last name.
I'm here.
Director Faram.
Here.
And Director O'Neill.
Here.
Okay. And Julia, Kendra Kennedy here.
Okay. So why don't we do the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh.
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I just wanted to mention, before we move on, I mentioned to Director Palmer, today is my anniversary, so I have to leave at 7:30 if we shouldn't finish by then, but I believe we will. But if I have to leave, then as Vice President, she can take over. So we have the minutes of the July 19th meeting. Are there any comments, or if not, is there a motion to approve?
I'll move that we approve the meetings from the July 19th meeting.
Moved. Second by Director Army. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries 5-0. And now we'll start with director comments. And why don't we just start with Director Army?
I have nothing new. We're going to address assurance issues, so that's really all that I have.
Okay. Director Palmer?
I think the only one thing I did want to report is I did join the Los Olivos Chamber as a business person, but I am going to participate on the Town Services Committee. So I, that should hopefully, I mean, I don't know if the board needs to officially designate me a representative, but I figured that will help facilitate conversation with what they have going on there and what we're doing here. So I just wanted to let you guys know that.
Well, as a single attendee, certainly not a Brown Act or anything,
no.
Is there any objection from the board or council? Do you see any issue with whether?
No,
okay.
No.
I think that's great.
I mean, I just thought it would be, anyway, I did it. So we have a meeting on September 6th, I believe it is, that I'll be attending. So I'll report after that, of course. Well, and that'll get into later discussion with, of course, what is number one on their mind.
Okay. Director Kennedy?
I have nothing.
Director O'Neill?
I have one thing, but I'll bring it up when we do the GM.
Okay. Oh, I have just a couple things I wanted to let the board know. We had talked about some of the studies that the Public Health Department had done and whether or not there was funding available to help us with future work in terms of alternatives. And so I happened to be, actually was going to Sacramento, and I contacted Larry Fay, who's the Director of Environmental Health, and went and talked to him and asked him about this money and if there was some available. And he said, indeed, there is money still available to do work to help communities like ours with this issue. He didn't pledge anything. He said he would certainly be interested in hearing what we would want, how much money we would want to apply for and what we would use it for. As you may recall, the EHS had done the original feasibility report and then an update. I think it was 2012 and then 2016. And so he didn't necessarily want to duplicate that work, but I told him there's probably elements that we need to revisit, and certainly it's, you know, we need to brush some things up. So maybe at a future board item, we could talk about what items we would want to consider asking the Public Health Department to help fund us on that. So I did that. Any comments from any board members on that? Yeah. Go ahead, Director O'Neill.
Did Larry say he'd entertain proposals?
Yes. Yes, he did. And then also, just for those who may or may not know, David Brumman, who is always kind of viewed as the second in command at Environmental Health, is now retired. So so he will no longer be there. I don't know who his replacement would be or anything like that. So Then also, I would just like to report, I think at our last meeting, we executed the agreement with the Auditor Controller's office for the agreement to have our finances held there, and that was approved at the board yesterday. And so that was good news. And then, so what I did, what that triggered me is I went into Finn, and I wanted to see, you know, what was there in terms of was there any funding or anything available, and there's not, and that doesn't surprise me. But then I talked to Harry Hagen, who's the treasurer, and we had talked about moving some of that money forward so that we can move it. And he said, in fact, there is a agreement and a resolution that we have to execute. And he actually gave me a copy of both the agreement and the resolution. I just got it in the email today. What I'd like to do is send that off to council to take a look at, and then we bring that back at our next board meeting, unless we think it's urgent enough that we do a special meeting to execute this. Because as it sits right now, there's no money available for us to spend. And for the benefit of council and Doug, our agreement would be our property taxes are collected on December 10th and April 10th. So technically we have no money, but the county runs a program. I think it's called Teeter.
Right.
Teeter. And what they basically do is they front you part of your budget so that you can start spending it. And for most county agencies, that begins on July 1st. Because that's just automatic. For outside agencies, you have to execute this agreement. And there are a number of independent special districts like ours that do this with the county. And so it's a nominal interest rate of 1.5% per year, only on the time that you're actually using the money until the property tax comes in. So I think it's something that, you know, that we need to do and we should do. And we can't take action on that today, but just reporting that out that we would want to bring this back, and maybe at the end when we talk about future items, we could talk about whether or not, unless Director Kennedy has a idea of whether we should call a special meeting in a week just to execute that, or whether we can wait until September. If we don't have anything urgent that we need to pay, we could wait till September. If we need to move on it, then we should probably do a...
Well, urgent. We do have some outstanding items to pay. By the way, I should have mentioned. I'm sorry. I'm like knee deep with moving my 80-year-old mom right now. I did attend the Finn training last week.
Oh, good.
Which, yeah, we didn't have an account. I did meet several people in the Auditor Controller's office there, and then in fact asked everyone I met about the availability of our funds and when our account would be set up, and honestly got a little bit of the runaround, but it makes sense now because it was down there in the Treasury Department.
Yeah. So anyways, when I brought that to Harry Higgins,
I think we should do a special meeting just to keep ourselves from getting behind on anything. We do have one large item to pay still, and that's the county
elections.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
Okay. So I note that at the end of our agenda, we have set next board meeting and workshop dates, so maybe we can trail to then, and we'll take that in order with there to do a special meeting, which would be just to, after council reviews, to approve the agreement and the resolution that would go with it, and with that, then I think we're good to go. So, and that was the summary of my comments.
The Teeter money, was there any indication that after we execute this agreement, how long it would take to actually fund this?
So Mr. Hagen indicated to me that he has authority already to do that, so it would be as soon as we get the executed agreement back to him, that it would be, he would turn it over to his staff, and then suddenly money would show up, and so he would move it. He did ask, we have a place to put in there of how much we want to move forward. You can do a maximum of 85%, I think, something like that. Maybe we could talk about that as we get to that part of the agenda. We can fill in whatever number we want up to 85%. I thought 50,000 or something like that, but I don't know if. And then we'll be on our regular schedule where we won't have to do this next year. We'll get our money at the point in time that every agency does, which is December 10th and April 10th. And there's a small interest on that, but it's 1.5% on whatever you use, and we won't even have it for a year. It'll be
right
until December 10th or whatnot. So, so now, so.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Not, we'll move on to public comments. This time for the public may address the board on any items in interest within the subject matter and jurisdiction of the board and not on the agenda today. Do we have any comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to reports from ad hoc subcommittees, and we'll start with Director O'Neill on retaining general manager. And I note that is a docket or a scheduled item. Should we trail that to the regular item that we have? Or did you have any other comments, Brian?
Whatever's easiest for you.
Well, we do have it agendized, so why don't we just take it when we get to that point in the agenda? Okay. And the other one is securing district insurance from Directors Army and Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's
anything to add to
in addition
it.
To yeah. what's agendized.
I just, all I did was, I clarified that this policy fee is from July 1st, 18 through June 30th, 19, and it will be prorated whenever we execute. So
okay.
The amount will go down, obviously, because we're only going to have coverage for 10 months or whatever it is of this lifetime, but of this period. But so she did agree on that, and then rest is just executing and
okay.
going forward. So.
Any other questions or comments on that? We'll go ahead and move on to item 8, our business items. And item A is authorization to join the Special District Risk Management Authority for the purpose of procuring insurance for the district and authorizing Director Army to move forward with procuring the needed policy based on the SDRMA provided estimate of. And we have a date. Was
whatever
there
that was, July. That didn't make
July 19th, 2019.
So July 19th, yeah, that was our
2019,
last meeting.
2019, that was the letter, yeah.
Any comments from the board, questions or comments from the board?
On the executing of this, advising me, would this fall under the general manager's position to execute that as we go forward, or is that still something that, as a director, you'd want me to do?
Well, I think, and we can take this up when we get to that. But when we have a general manager, I think what I'd like to see is the general manager. We're hiring a general manager so that we don't have five general managers.
Sounds good to me.
And but that you would still work it with him on the process.
Know where we're at.
With him or her on that process, and see that through to our next.
No problem.
Okay.
I can delegate.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure if it was in his scope or not.
Any other comments or questions? Then so could I have a, I'm sorry.
So, well, and maybe this is part of the discussion. So just to be clear, just procedurally, we need to first authorize that we enter the agreement and then pass the resolution.
Yes.
And is that correct?
Yes.
Just making sure.
And we have already authorized that we are going to be members of the CSDA, right?
No, that's what we're going to vote on right now. We
that's the SDR.
We yes, we're already in.
Okay, sorry, because that's another stipulation of this having the policy.
We just have to paper them with what they need.
Yeah.
So yes.
Okay.
Okay, so then could I have a motion on item A, which would be authorizing us to join the SDRMA?
I'll move that we authorize the district to join the Special District Risk Management Authority for the purpose of procuring insurance. And I think I did amend it to say an authorizing Director Army and the General Manager to move forward with procuring the needed policy based on the provided estimate of July 19, 2018.
Indeed.
Second.
A second by Director Army. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Carries 5-0. So then along with that, then we would have to approve resolution number 21802. Question for Ross, do I need to read the resolution or can I, it's agendized, should I read it by title only or?
Title only.
Title only, so then let me switch to the title. So then item B would be approval of resolution 2018-02, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Los Olivos Community Service District approving the form and authorizing the execution of a sixth amended joint powers agreement and authorizing participation in the Special District Risk Management Authority property / liability program. Questions or comments? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve resolution 2018-2?
I have a motion to approve it.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Second by Director Palmer. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. That's a roll call.
Oh, is that a roll call?
It's an resolution.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm sorry. One second. I just want to get this messed up.
He just wants to get to dinner.
Okay. Okay. Director Army.
Yay.
Director Palmer.
Aye.
And Director Farrell.
Aye.
And Director O'Neill.
Aye.
And Director Kennedy is an aye.
So approved. Thank you. Okay, item C is approved contract for general manager services for the 2018-19 fiscal year. Maybe I turn this then over to Director O'Neill for a summary.
Okay, well, first off, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the most important business we have done. You may need to help me with tracking some votes on this one, too. I'd like to put forth the contract for the GM, and with that contract, the last exhibit is a budget associated with that. So, you can help me get through that one. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
At the last meeting, we took the input from everybody, and we put forth the GM draft agreement. Ran it through our legal counsel, who also came back with potential reviews, red lines, and we actually changed from the ACDC, which is the American Civil Engineers Commission, their contract, and we changed it to one that our legal counsel recommended, and we worked through that. Of course, when we did that, we had to go back to the client, and the client, M&S, who would be the contractor, reviewed it, gave us red lines, and we went through the whole process of going back and forth through legal to resolve it. As of today, we came back and we finalized it. So it is acceptable to council. My recommendation is that we move forward with the terms and conditions in that contract, along with the job description, because we've changed the scope of work, which is my next one on that, and the basically, we are all approved. Mr. Salvino, we changed the last one from the board packet that you saw yesterday. There's two changes. One, basically, we moved it from Doug's signature down to the owner of MNS, or the president of MNS, for their signature. He's approved it, forwarded over to me at lunchtime today. Thank you, Doug. And so, with your review and approval, I'd like to put that forth nomination to approve the GM contract as it stands.
Okay.
And as is approved by legal counsel and the selection committee.
Any questions or comments from any of the board?
The only thing I saw, this is, first of all, thank you for the time and effort that went into getting us to this. The only thing I saw is really a housekeeping, and that is the P.O. box for the district needs to be revised on the noticing. That's it. 345.
What do I have?
One. You have your P.O. box.
I have one.
You don't want that coming there. So other than that, that's just housekeeping. Okay. It's on page 9 of the agreement.
My apologies.
No, you know what? If that's the only change we've got, we're in really good shape.
Just on the thing here.
Strike out, yeah, I think we can strike out. And
yeah, no, like I said, it's.
Is it again, Lisa, 345?
345. It's easy to remember. No, I mean, this is in line with what we discussed, and, should get us through the 6 months and has runway to be extended if we need it, so.
Yeah, well, I think Director O'Neill really carried the weight on this, and so I add my thanks to him as well. So unless there's any other, any public comment from the candidate?
No, I appreciate the effort that you spent working with folks over at MNS. And no need to notify us in the change appeal box. We have that correct one in all of our paperwork. So.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, then if there's no other discussion, could I have a motion to approve the contract for general manager services?
So the motion would be to accept the contract for interim general manager services, IGM. Yeah. It's critical for this, along with the scope of work that's estimated for MNS engineering.
You need to authorize the president or another director to execute on behalf of the district.
Okay.
As well.
Well, along those lines, we have room on the document for execution by Mr. Director Barham and to attest to it by Ms. Kennedy.
Okay. We have a motion? We have a second.
Was that a motion? I thought Brian made a motion.
That was a motion, yeah. Yes. That was a motion. Can I have a second?
Oh. Can you rattle that one off again? We had a lot of stuff going on in there. It's a little different than...
The motion to accept the IGM, the intern general manager.
Interim, right?
Interim,
okay, general manager.
Contract and scope of work to MNS engineers. Just to MNS engineers.
And authorize president.
And authorize the president.
And authorize president Barham to
execute on behalf of the district. I'll second it.
Okay, now a motion and a second. Any further discussion? So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Congratulations, Doug, and thank you.
Woohoo! I have a list for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a great moment for all of us. I think.
I'm expecting a list from each of you.
Yeah.
Okay, my job is done.
Yeah.
Well, this part's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Again, thank you for getting us here, and Doug, welcome, and we're looking forward to working with you.
Yeah.
I agree too as well. On a side note, I truly believe that MNS as a whole and Doug is going to be one heck of a resource, and we were lucky to have identified it, and when we did, congratulations. So thank you. Second motion, I want to run this by Julie too, is to look at the level of effort, as I called it at the end, it's Exhibit B. It's been my experience that when we do a contract, the next thing is to actually agree on the funding that we'll be going for it. This level of effort I came up with using the labor categories that were proposed, and I put forth a level of effort going across to relatively come up with a budget that, it's my understanding, and Julie, step in here, that we can actually within our budget to handle this for the 6 months. I've reviewed this with MNS staff or management, and again, it's a not to exceed amount for the interim 6 month period here. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to need to spend it all, or it doesn't preclude if work things come up that they will, we can add to it. So
we just to refresh everyone's memory, what we have on our budget, we did approve for the 2018-19 fiscal year, $50,000 was what we had allocated for this general labor category. We weren't anticipating hiring actual employees, but this would be for primarily for this purpose, for the general manager. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I note that the $50,000 budget carries through the fiscal year.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, even though we're in an initial 6 month period.
Right. And and as everybody else, also just to refresh everyone's memory, that with that we did have an ending, we did calculate it right as of now anyway, an ending fund balance of $68,700, and with the idea that that would get us through until the next round of the 2019 December property tax revenues would be received.
And I'd like to note that I also, with no attempt to go after that $50,000, just happened to work out that way, is I was actually looking at the services and supplies and cannibalizing expenses, our office expenses and professionals, special services funds that we have, along with contractual services. So there were items that just, it was a combination that did come up to the $50,000.
Yeah, and just to keep in mind, so for example, the contractual services, that, which the amount was $24,000, $20,000 of that will go to the county elections office right off the bat once we get some money, and also any other fees that may be imposed by the county and or state. The office expense was just that postage printing supplies, not actually even an office. The professional and special services, this would be other outsourced services, anticipating that we may need other engineering or other special assistance that we'd have to farm out for. So I will say this too, though, that one item, the audit and accounting fees, which is a, right now we have $10,000, it is likely to not be anywhere near that, since we're so small, we'll be able to do a biannual audit, so every other year we'll audit. We won't have to incur that cost for this first year. And also, since we're using the FIN system, it's negligible amount. So this number is probably going to end up being closer to somewhere around $2,000 for this first year. So there will be a considerable savings there as well.
And I think it's important that we keep it well under.
I agree completely.
Just for constituents and discipline and management practice going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we budgeted nothing for rent or leases.
No, we don't.
So.
I bring that up as for this discussion purposes.
So okay.
We know what's going on, and at least we're aware of it there, too.
Okay, so now we'll move on then to item 8D, which is discussion of board priorities with respect to general manager position. We talked about the insurance. Maybe just open it up about what you would need to help complete that off then, Director Arnold.
Basically, I would submit to you all of the paperwork to fill out for what, you know, they are asking for us to join the association, what we have to do, what we have to supply. I've given them a loss letter, basically, because we're brand new. They, you know, of course, they want a six-year loss report and everything else. Well, we don't have one. We're not. And so they understand that. So I've already written that, given that to that, and I'll just give you the paper trail of everything that I have. But it's pretty, right now, it's just really simple. It's just filling out the forms and joining the organizations and making sure we have everything going, the wet signatures for them. We send it over to them, and then we have to have the funds to pay for the fee and for the year, and we're basically the insured. So they know that we're an upstart. They know that we're going through, and they've been working really well with us to get everything. So it's pretty simple, and I'll give you all the contacts that I have there and everything else. So. It's really, really pretty straightforward.
And there's no reason that couldn't come back for our September meeting?
Oh, definitely. It's ready to go. It's ready just, go. It depends
I
on.
I don't think it needs to come back.
It just well, it doesn't need to come back?
No.
We just
need
approved
to be, okay.
It.
We just
all
approved
just
it.
Approved
all right.
It. Now the administrative part just needs to be.
The only thing that's going to hold it up is
that
funding packet right there. And when she can write a check for $2,000 with it, we're ready to go.
So that.
I'm imagining there would be a regular board agenda item, which is the IGM report, and I'll just mention that it's been done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then all I will need is your email address that I can forward you everything that I have on that setup for it.
Why don't I give that now so everybody has that? That's a good way to communicate. It's dpike@mnsengineers.com. And by the way, my understanding is that it would not be a violation of the Brown Act just simply to give me a heads up on items that may fall in my basket. I mean, it would be really good to collect those. We may not discuss everything today.
M&S.
And then we'll take action on them at the meeting. We can put an item, the same item board priorities to the IGM could be next meeting as well, and we can keep that, scrub it or keep it ongoing. By the way, I just wanted to mention that I prefer a close accountability for hours. We use the Dell Tech software. I'll generate a backup report on each one, and it'll itemize, have a narrative as to what every hour was spent doing. And therefore, you can see what I'm doing, and hopefully you'll know in advance that I don't do anything that might result in a bill without you knowing this is going to show up, so there's no surprises. But also, your accountability to your constituents. If somebody wants to see what the heck MNS is doing, you can just simply show that to them. It's all there. All clear.
And to that end, now that we have an interim GM, Ross, on your contract, I know it's not due until the end of the year, but if you can be doing monthly reports so we know where we are along that general bucket of hours, so that we don't get from, you know, we don't get 6 months into it and realize we've eaten. We may perceive that our hours are different than the reality.
Of course.
So if you could do that, that'd be great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, especially until we get a, an opportunity to build up a little bit of fund balance that can take, I mean, as we get down the road, there's going to be things that come up that we have to do in addition, and we just don't have any slack right now. So that's really, really important.
Well, and part of the advantage of having an interim general manager is that I can touch base with him, get the priorities on where legal services are going to be needed, and not have to handle administrative types of things. That really goes a long way to cutting down on the fees and prioritizing to make sure that it coincides with the budget priorities and the budget constraints.
Right. Great.
Well, I've got a few items if anybody else.
Here, a general question. I'm literally looking for legal counsel and IGM. I ran into this yesterday because I actually reached out to Ross on a question. But you guys are more seasoned than I am. What do we do, because they both report to the board, if we need, or if we come up with a question or a need or a priority for Doug or something like that, what's the process for us to follow to make sure that we're not nickel diving them, you know, getting everything going on? But if something comes up, how do we vet that amongst ourselves?
I have a suggestion.
Please.
This would be a good time to consider committees that can meet on a short order, even on the phone, a finance committee, for example, or technical committee. And the committee would be maybe three.
We can't have more than two because of Brown Act.
Okay.
Two plus the general manager? Or
yeah.
General manager.
Just two board directors.
Yeah. Can't be and more than that because you have a majority of the board.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. And there would be, a resolution authorizing those and kind of defining what authorities the board gives those committees. And so it would keep you kind of reined in the committees, but give you authority to direct either of us to do something short of, you know, full board meeting.
Well, I also think that if it's asking a question or asking for something to be put on the agenda, which is a good question on agenda management now, you need to prepare our agenda. And how do we want to agendize those items? Does that have to be done at the board, or can an individual director ask the general manager just to put one on without, obviously they're not going to notify the rest of the board to preserve the Brown Act, but if any director wanted an item on the board and contacted Mr. Pike, can that just be put on the agenda? Okay, so... So that's one way. And then I think in terms of directing, like if you want to direct Doug to go out and do something that has not been approved by the board and it would be 20 hours or something like that, I think it would rely a lot on Doug. I mean, I deal with this too. And it does take a certain amount of management by the IGM as to what you think is within your approved authority and or what you would have to tell a board member that, well, before we do that, before I do that, that should come back to the board and suggest that that director put it on the agenda and then have the whole board do that.
I'm a careful person in that regard. I think we wouldn't want things to stall out, but if it's something essential and it's not a lot of time, it's an easy decision
sure.
to make. If it's a big commitment and might involve a lot of hours before the next board meeting, they'll raise the flag of the flagpole and suggest a special meeting or go to a yeah. committee if we have the committees established before I do anything like that.
Did you have anything?
No, I'm good.
I just had a couple of comments that I think we should have Mr. Pike look at doing. And one is there's an organization now in Santa Barbara County called the Integrated Water Regional Water Management Planning Group, IRWIMP. And I have since recused myself from that. It's actually in the Public Works Department of the County of Santa Barbara, who I'm employed with. And so on the advice of county council, I have been recused from that organization. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to even attend that organization just because of my position at the county. But I think Mr. Pike should get on the email list of the IRWIMP. I can provide you. It's a Jane Gray at Dudek. You probably know her, Doug.
Yeah.
And I think it would be worthwhile if you started getting those emails and maybe even attend. I think they have quarterly meetings because it is an opportunity for future funding. And I think as a community, we're going to definitely want to look for some funding help. And I think it'd be good if we got started to get plugged in into that.
It'd be good at any organization that has WIMP in its acronym.
Yeah.
Doers.
Can you rattle off what that stands
for? Integrated Regional Water Management Plan.
Plan, okay, thank you.
And then ultimately, one of the things that we'll have to do if we want to get put on the list of potential funding is we actually would ultimately develop a project and then submit it to the IRWIMP group for funding, which is dependent on when the state comes out with rounds. So. I mentioned about having a monthly report of your expenditures so we can track that. You did that, and the other thing I think we should start thinking about doing is looking out on a work plan for what are the things that we need to do, and in doing so we can list some of the things we have to do. I'll note that the action by LAFCO had said that we need to put an assessment on the role, I think, for the treatment option. I'm trying to remember how it was worded. Maybe another director remembers of the LAFCO condition. Do you remember, Lisa?
We need the Prop 218 election.
The Prop 218 election, but it said a Prop 218 election. I thought it was for funding. The decision was already made of what we were even going
to
do.
Oh, I know. Okay. Are you referring to the they're looking for us to have this solution in
yeah.
place?
Yeah. Right.
And if not, we need to go back to LAFCO
yeah.
for an extension.
So, yeah.
Go ahead. You're finished.
So one of the things that I would like to do sooner rather than later is get a letter to LAFCO saying we've been spending the last several months just getting up and running as an organization. One of the things that would be required for that 218 election is an engineer's report that would spell out how much the assessment would be and to what benefit of each parcel would get it, and that can be that can cost tens of thousands of dollars as well that we don't have right now. And so my thought on that was that's probably something more primed for the year after. And then that would potentially help fund. I mean, we have some work to do. I don't see us going out and putting a 218 election to build a wastewater plant that we don't even know where it is or how much it's going to cost and the collection system and what we're going to do. We have to go through a lot of work yet. And so I think we need a little time to be able to do that. And even before we even go to construction of any facility, we have to do engineering and design. We have to do right away. We have to do environmental. All this work has to be done. So maybe what you could do, Doug, is think about just a really high level work plan of the major milestone steps that would take place over the next, say 2 years to get us to the point where we're actually zeroing in on a treatment option and what those costs are, because we're going to have to stand up in front of the community and disclose what the cost of this is, and hopefully offset by some outside money, and if not, show what this is actually going to cost and see if it's acceptable to the community.
Is the solvang option completely out?
I think the solvang option, my understanding is that solvang is interested in doing an expansion that would take ours. I think there's issues with that need to be looked at, but it's certainly not off the table in my mind. It's a viable option, but it has some major issues that would need to be addressed, at least in my mind. But I think the mechanics of could we deliver flow to solvang, given where we sit and where they sit, I think we could deliver it there. Is that the preferred option from the community standpoint? Well, I think that we have to look at that.
Moving forward on that, no option is off the table.
Yeah.
And we're blessed because there's three documents. One was offered by MNS, the two other AECOM reports. Can go actually go down the list all the alternatives over the years and literally say what needs to be done next. That along with the financial aspect of it. What was that report called again?
The feasibility. The Bergson study.
And so that has the actually administrative stuff recommended in there. I have all of those documents available for you. In fact, I'd like to get all my library on the website.
Yeah, I had the electronic versions of the two county studies that I think I forwarded to you. Did you see? I hope I sent it to the right address. I may have sent it to the wrong address.
I don't know. But that's something else you and I can talk about, because we can move the website maintenance
quite a few.
I
collected everything that's out there on the web that was posted previously, which is most of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more.
But most of it.
But I have electronic copies now of both of the county reports. So I don't know if you have those. Environmental Health Services report, the 2012, and then the 2016 update. Those were AECOM, right? Yeah, those are both. Here's the updated report. Actually, Larry Fay gave me a hard copy of that. So,
if anything that you want to forward to me by email or link.
I think one of the things that we need to look at is how, as a board, are we gonna start this dialogue of going through and looking at alternatives and starting to come to a direction of what we want to do.
Well, if I make a couple comments. So, in my mind, where we are, and we have you for 6 months, is I think what I would like is for you to come back with a recommendation is based on what we have, what we know today, what studies we have today, right? Inventory, what information we know and that's still current, what's missing, what are we going to need to, what questions do we need to answer to move ourselves forward in the next 6 months? I mean, I like your 2-year horizon, but I think what are like the top three things we need to get done in the next 6 months? I mean, we can tell you, or you can do your study and come back to us and say, if this is where we want to end up, these are the decisions we want to be making in 6 months to a year's time, what do we need to do first? Because I see identifying the study areas as also at the same time going out and looking what money's out there. I mean, we're a special problems area. Everyone's been breathing down our necks to solve this problem. There's FDA money, there's state money, there's county money. we need to go take an inventory and snapshot and start leaning on people to step up and help us with these studies to fund them instead of it all being on the taxpayer back. So that's kind of where I am. It's like, what's critical path? Well, we've got you for sure for 6 months. And I'd say, clearly in consultation, but come back with a proposed work plan that then we kick around.
Yeah.
Instead of all of us giving you our vision.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're, you know, you have the expertise, the experience, and that would be my hope. And then maybe we do a work session where we're just, you know, ripping through that and starting to, you know, rough stuff out in the next iteration, because I think we need to show a path forward for the community. I mean, right. We need a path forward, but we need to be able to articulate, like, it's going to take us this long to do the study, this long to do an, you know, siting, this long to do siting an EIR before we even get to a solution. And then
there's also a specific sequence that has to
right.
happen.
Right.
So it's like, for example, the Prop 218 vote probably needs to have some decisions made before we can do that.
Right.
Because you can't put a price on maintenance if you don't know what you're going
to
do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what are those critical path milestones we have to make that we want to make? And what are all the triggers along the way that we have to
And what are the minimums we have to have in place for the options so we can actually start applying for funding, even though we don't know what the more information we have. So let's say, okay, we're going to do a collection system. It's going to tie into solving. This is what it's going to take. That's one thing, one option. Okay, what are the funding available for that? We're going to do our own treatment facility and then the whole infrastructure. What's our you know, what options out there are for funding? And then we have more knowledge to kind of say, okay, if we go A, B, or C, these are what fundings are available, this is what it's going to be, and this is how we can apply for it, but just to know what minimums we have, at least to see what's out there for the funding to get answers. Because if they're just saying, well, put your stuff together and submit it, and maybe we'll get funding, that does us no good. You know, we're just going to be chasing our tail. So we just kind of need to know what we have, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think we do need to, I think you alluded to it, Lisa, is the, you know, we need to get some form of how we're going to tackle this problem. And I really want to look at the option of, I think the downtown core has very limited options, but the surrounding residential area, I fear the cost of a fully sewered community. I fear the disruption of a fully sewered community if advanced on-site works. And if advanced on-site works, then we can also talk about how that's phased in. Does it get immediately everybody has to go? Does it start with upon sale? Does it have a timeline? Because we can't just all of a sudden say, all right, 400 homes are going to have advanced on-site in the next month. That's not going to happen. That's got a phase-in period too. And there's ways you can phase that in to offset the impact to individual landowners that to do that. And I know a lot of this will be driven by the regional board too, as to what they're willing to accept. I like the idea of a timeline or upon sale, which gives people planning horizon to do that, especially for homeowners who I think Los Olivos is kind of viewed as having the wherewithal to do anything, and I don't think that's an accurate statement. There are a lot of people that are in as tight a situation as anybody else in the county, and not in a position to go out and spend the amount of money that hooking up to a full system, a sewer system, would take if that's what was the option. So.
So as soon as we have a facts, right,
yeah,
that can tell us what those costs are,
yeah,
I mean, the next iteration of facts that talk about on-site, what it actually costs,
yeah,
what the hookup looks like, no matter what the system is, right?
Yeah.
So,
maybe my foresight, you know, is wrong, and an on-site system is more expensive than it may be more expensive for some than others, but we need the information.
Well, and also for funding.
And
so,
for funding, yeah,
you know, when, how much of it gets subsidized, I hate that word, gets offset by public funds that are available for use.
Yeah.
So.
I understand the discussions that's going on board, and I agree completely with it. We were charged with setting up the GM and the IGM as to set the board up for the first 6 months.
Correct.
And completely agree with everything we're talking about, and there is the need to figure out what the long-term plan is, and we definitely need a management plan. I'm all behind that. However, at this point, we're bringing on the IGM to help set up the board.
Correct.
And we want to be. I just want to caution everybody that even though M&S is a fabulous company, and actually the scope that I did write up includes all the engineering aspect of it, but that's one of the reasons I checked off all those X boxes. Is the first stage is we're going to get everything going, and have the capabilities within Doug's and his entity that he's with to provide these services. If I was going to put forth recommendation, would be to, I think a better use of his time right now is to peruse the documents, identify the recommendations that's made for literally, I'm going to bring up all three of those documents because they work together, and put forth to us what those recommendations are going to be. I bring that to everybody's attention because the first thing I asked is Larry Fay asking for proposals. Those are the things that we can actually propose. And in those management plans and those management technical studies is the idea of sequencing, things that are going to hit the CEQA process, hit the siting process and the engineering process. So what I would like to see is the future kept always, that's the target. What we've heard here tonight is the target. But to get there, the steps that we're going to take is going to, take a look at what we have, itemize it, see what we can capitalize. It's written in other people's words, and be able to put those forth for the proposals to get the funds that we need. We can't be looking right now about sewering downtown or not downtown. We have to look at all the alternatives, and there's lots of steps, as we all know, that's going to get there. So I want to make sure that we utilize what we intend to from the IGM right now.
Well, this is a great discussion because that work plan is obviously critical. And if you think about that, that's the segue into the technical product, but it also merges it with the work of the district. And so you can think of it as a process flow chart, and that would be one version of it. It would be a list also, and instead of a tedious report, something that's summarized and simple to look at, but then you build on that. And as we garner more information, that expands. So this work plan becomes, it's like a business plan for getting the business and the district done what you want to get accomplished. And there's a whole chapter on details of options and costs that you won't see for a while, but you can see how that work plan can expand and become kind of the working document or a form of a working document for you moving forward. And we can also use that month by month to trigger the thoughts, okay, these are the items on the work plan that we want Doug to help us focus on. And then we have timelines that'll adjust, but this work plan will have estimated timeframes and budgets. And it kind of will be the working document, because the unique thing about this district right now is that you're working towards one goal. Really, and that's to protect the groundwater and get online in a rational, cost-effective way, an effective way to dispose of wastewater. And so the work plan will focus towards that. We're not going to have a lot of things that are going to distract us from that. And even, things like insurance and all the rest, that's an item on the work plan. Because the administrative setup of the district, that's right near the top of the work plan. There will be a list of things, and we'll work through those. But we can create a general list so that we have a vision developing, get more specific. A lot of things that M&S probably never touch because it's down the road further. But we can certainly map it and make sure we don't miss something. And you can take advantage of our expertise along the way. We have a grant writing group that specializes in water, because that's the big thing now. And so we can add to what the other reports have identified as potential funding sources. And we keep a pulse on those. How well are they funded? What are the success rates? What are the types of projects? We know how to write, and we can just make a notation. you have to write a description that's like a, it's like resume writing for every grant. If you don't customize it for that grant, you don't get it.
Right.
So you tweak it, and you read one grant application to another, and it's very different, and you wonder if it's the same district, but that's how you succeed in getting the grant money. And it's being creative, it's not being dishonest, it's just, you know, it's like the way we do resumes.
Because I would, I'd ideally like to see something by, that we can, I don't say publish, put on the website, that shows some sort of milestones and horizons. Because one of the things, you know, we've gone through this period with the community of a cloud, because there is no solution. And I think the more visibility, right, and clarity we can give property owners in terms of protecting their property value, you know, protecting their properties, the more we can show that we have a plan and that we're moving toward a solution. That's going to change, but I do think some sort of top level overview is a newly established board and kind of setting the pace for getting work accomplished. As Doug said, we have a singular focus, right? So that's all we're here to do. So let's show progress and focus that we're moving toward that. And it doesn't mean we're in a rush. It just means we have a focus and we're marching that direction.
Well, and now the general view, that top level view, and that's for public consumption,
right,
and a working document,
yeah,
something different is very valuable. It creates the talking points so everybody's talking in sync also.
Right. And then I guess the other thing to balance your, you know, as you figure out how to manage your time, is there's the have-tos, like getting policies in place. Like, in terms of when we have to, like, do we have to prioritize, or you may have had experience with this, Ross, like you need to do the 1,000, I have no idea. All I'm saying is whatever we need to do to stay in compliance and stay out of trouble, we need to make sure we're doing that. That's my, you know, yeah. So whatever you have to do in your minimum 6-month tenure to make sure we're moving along in that direction.
You know, and that'll
check those boxes.
We'll keep the resolutions. We don't want to recreate state law and the Brown Act and all the rest, but what we can do is we'll be developing agreed to policies and and that's all we'll have. So it'll be very high level.
And we should get you connected with CSDA now that we're members. They have a ton of off-the-shelf stuff that you can just plug and play.
They actually have training.
Right. So anyway, I'm just saying, so whatever you need from us to keep us on track to do that, you know, just let us know. But I'm happy to have you move us through that.
Thanks. By the way, anything that I do that's educating myself, that's overhead time of the company for training. So you're not going to get charge for me spending time learning new things. And like I said, you'll have visibility. I think it's going to result in a bill to know about before it happens.
Can you survive there?
I apologize for that.
Okay. Anything else?
At least
at this point.
Do we need a special meeting on the county resolution in order to get our funds moving?
So that would be on item E.
We
just had a discussion item. Unless there's no more discussion or choking, then we'll move on. I think it would be good that we have this item on the agenda every month that would allow the board to talk to the GM in front of everybody about these priorities. Does that sound like maybe that's through the IGM report. I like the idea of an IGM report. I think we should have a report from council on the agenda as well every month. And many times there's no report, but at least it's there.
It's also time for me to receive any, you know, type of
yes,
direction or comments from the board as well that may not be flowing through the general manager just because of timing or whatever.
So two items to add to our agenda, Mr. IGM. Then item E is to set our next board meeting and board workshop. I believe our next scheduled board meeting, if we were to follow our schedule of the second Wednesday, which caught us right off the bat, wouldn't you know it.
I looked at the rest of the year, though, and all of the remaining months that followed.
As did I, yes. So that would be September 12th, but I think it might be worthwhile if we reconvene next week just to take up the two items with the county treasurer's office to get our money through Teeter move forward. So is there any opposition to us doing that next Wednesday?
I won't be here. I'm be in San Diego next week, all week. So
I won't be here.
You will not?
No.
Okay.
I got my 80-year-old mom moving.
Okay.
Can we do it by phone?
You can't. You just have to post the agenda and be in a publicly accessible place.
I'll try to be here.
I mean, I'll be back on Friday. I'm just gone all week until Friday.
Okay.
If
I'd be back me too. On Friday.
I'll be back on Friday.
On Friday. I'm fine with that. Let me just double check something. That is
it's the 24th.
Okay, so I just note that is not Memorial Day weekend.
No.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Labor Day
weekend. Labor Day weekend.
So the 24th then at 6 o'clock right here, it will be a very quick meeting.
Okay.
Is that acceptable to everybody?
That works for me.
So,
Friday
the 24th.
Do you
don't even need to be here.
Okay.
I mean,
we might ask you to do our agenda and
well,
post
that would be fine and
post it for us.
Yeah, I'll talk with Julie and you can share with me how you do that so that
okay.
You remember, I'm winging it here. This is all new for me.
No, that'll work out good. Yeah, that's good if I don't have 10. That's my wife's birthday. She'd get mad. That's probably about the time I'm taking her to dinner.
If push it to stuff, I can easily put this particular agenda together. It'll be really simple.
Okay.
So.
And I don't think we need we don't need the IGM or council report. It would just be called to order and just
this resolution.
It's a resolution and it's a authorize the president to sign the agreement with the treasurer's office. And I got hard copies that I'll give to council, and then I have both of those in Word that I'll send to both of you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Julie, what's a good phone number for you?
My cell is 805-245-1111.
Okay, because I'll probably ask you to help me get contact information for everybody. Yeah.
No problem. My email address is julie.kennedy6@gmail.com.
Excuse me, 24th.
Yes, Friday the 24th.
I actually have two hard copies of this, so I'll go.
Okay.
Okay, and then our next regular meeting would be the September. Did I say?
Well,
September 12th. We also have board workshop dates. Is there any need at this point? I think maybe we wait for our work plan. And then I think at some point, I think a public workshop to start talking about all this would be very, you know, not a decision-making forum, but a input-gathering forum would be worthwhile at some point down the line.
Yeah, maybe whatever you bring back in September, maybe by then have some visibility on when we'd want to hold something like that in the third quarter, fourth quarter.
You certainly have a draft. Pretty not necessarily comprehensive, but they have a lot of stuff on it because there's a lot of stuff to do. So even the first draft could be really busy, but I'll have two versions. I'll have just one that could be posted on the website and then one that's a working copy.
Okay, that sounds good.
Lisa, Tom, do you think we need to set up a committee and have technical support on that? Would it be technical? Just let him run with it.
I let him run. I would again, as part of your whatever we're envisioning from a work plan standpoint, what are you going to need from us to support it moving it forward?
I think we'll
and then
get
we
that
can
back.
Set up the committee based on that.
I agree. Yeah.
Instead of setting something up and we don't know what we're doing for
right. 6 months. So having a document on the onset as a draft is a very useful and efficient way to do it. Because I think I know almost exactly what you need. So.
don't need to make it harder than this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, well, I think that handles that. Item 9 is call for future agenda items. Anything that we haven't discussed already to any board members want brought back?
Is there an open discussion?
What's that?
Is there an open discussion?
About what?
I don't know. Just one of the items I wanted to bring up is I did ask Ross to help on this stuff is one of my friends is either with the Carpenter or Sanitary District or the Carpenter Valley Water District. And they got involved in a court case where the state came in and said, no, you're legal counsel, and I extrapolated it to be any kind of contract employee, was deemed an employee, and the state had to come back and was able to recoup payroll taxes off of them. And what I was concerned, I just brought it up, it came out of our contract. I was talking with this guy, and actually Doug's boss, Mr. Salvito, brought it back up to us too, to make sure that we have everything in place that doesn't allow these guys to become employees. And I think you could probably speak to that a little bit better, Ross, because I'm pretty much at my element. I just want to make sure that we're being a young district. We don't want to go down that route.
Of course. So the classification of a worker as either an independent contractor or employee is one, the standards have been squishy for a while, and it's a tale as old as time, because obviously there are advantages for someone to be considered an employee, and there's an advantage for them to be considered independent contractors. Well, in the age of the gig economy, with people holding down all these different types of positions, it's kind of worked its way up to the California Supreme Court. They issued an opinion at the end of April, beginning of May, called the Dynamex decision, and it dealt with Dynamex employing delivery drivers, kind of part of the last mile for different delivery or delivery on behalf of other companies, and the issue was whether they were employees for purposes of a wage order from the state. Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things that are distinguishing about it is it's a private employer and private employees or private contractors, not a public agency and not public employees. And two, it was within the context of a wage order that was issued by the state. So that's obviously not something that necessarily applies here. Under the government code, public entities have the ability to specifically contract for legal services and administrative support. There are a number of things that are listed that are identified as areas where public entities can go and get outside contractors. So there's statutory support for the notion that administrative support personnel, like an interim general manager or a permanent general manager, as well as, and specifically legal counsel, is identified as a separate category. They're identified as contractors under state law. Two, legal services historically are independent contract basis types of services, because lawyers make the independent determination of how they work, what they do, and they're not necessarily controlled in how they carry out their business by their clients. And that is especially true in the context of a public entity, where we only take direction in terms of implementing policy types of decisions. But the day-to-day work of being lawyers and the day-to-day work of doing the client's business are completely within our control, and that's one of the hallmarks of an independent contractor type of relationship. So I would love to hear more about what the facts were as to what prompted the state to come and do that. But in this type of a relationship, I just don't see how that might be a relationship that could be categorized as an employer type of a position.
I could envision where they had a maintenance worker that they claimed was a contractor, when in fact they were just working alongside employees, and they were trying, or in the case, as you mentioned, the delivery truck driver guy, that's kind of like, okay, so you're driving the company truck, but you're a consultant / contract, independent contractor. I don't know how that would.
Right. In Dynamex, they actually had employees. They were, the drivers were considered employees through 2004. And then they switched over to being contractors in 2005 as a money-saving measure. Dynamex was in trouble. That's a huge red flag in terms of what's the analysis.
I'm selling you this truck, and you're going to rent it back to me.
That was rampant in 08, 09, when everything contracted and everyone's shedding people,
so,
but we'll bring
and
you
the
back.
The case has gone back and forth through different levels of the court because it's a class action, and it wasn't until this particular issue hit the Supreme Court in the end of April 30th. April 30th is when the decision was issued. So, definitely implications for the categories of work or the categories of workers that might be subjected to or covered by some type of a work order issued by the state. You know, as attorneys and as administrative staff, typically we're exempt from your wage and hour types of issues. So that's another one of those factors that courts look at in making a determination of whether you're an employee or a contractor. So if we control our own time, we control how we go about providing the services that we provide, we're almost always exempt from wage and hour types of situations. So I think the chances of it happening are extremely low. And I would be willing to bet that there is a peculiar quirk that involves that particular public entity as to why that person may have been considered an employee. Of course, if I am employed by you as a general counsel, like if I were literally a public employee, employed by you, paid by the district, that's a different type of a situation. The analysis changes. I can be employed by a contract, but you know, but that's obviously not the case here.
I mean, I would just add too, there's also the provision in this that we're not requiring you to use our facility, our equipment, or be on premise at certain times,
correct,
et cetera. So yeah, we're pretty far outside the line here.
We're pretty much on nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't even have an office for you to come to.
We're here to school.
We don't even have a phone.
But I want to make sure that answers, that provides the
my email.
Yeah,
also,
when it was brought up as a
need to
topic,
I have all this stuff.
Their legal counsel was helping us. It wasn't just a truck driver, it was a service contractor.
Yeah, that's a very odd situation.
So thank you.
Of course.
You know, there's one thing that this discussion stimulated in my mind, and you know, it's a topic for another time, but we can talk about it because it falls under the category. So this is an interim position. So the implication is, you know, what do we do in 6 months, and who's going to help you get to the transition?
Right.
And so it's just something we'll have to have a discussion more on. One of the things that you want to consider and discuss with your legal counsel, and I can provide them with two advantages and disadvantages of the long-term general manager being a contract employee versus an employee. I see districts, special districts, that spend an inordinate amount of time dealing with personnel issues, even with one or two employees.
Yeah, we want to avoid that. Speaking of someone that has a lot of employees, you want to avoid that.
Okay. And then the other thing is
no.
We'll want to talk about what, if any, role you might want me or your general counsel to assist that. It would almost be a conflict of interest for me to be heavily involved if you're thinking about a contract employee that looks like, smells like, a company like M&S. But I can assist in providing enhanced descriptions of work, or you know, who you're looking for, or helping you find independent contractors that you can solicit proposals from, that sort of thing. Just wanted to throw that out there as something. Clock's ticking now.
Right.
Now that you've got me for 6 months, I guess you're looking to a permanent solution in 6 months.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else from the board on item 9? Future agenda items? If not, we will adjourn at 7:15.
Nice.
And thank you.
I move that we adjourn at 7:15.
No. I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. We feel like a district now. We have an IGN, we have
council,
we have an attorney.
We have people.
We're going to have insurance. We're ready to go.
We have insurance.
Let's get some work
now
done.
Now we can go out and do something dumb and
that's
get sued for it.
Car keys and go out.
Go for a joyride. Do you want to sign...
yeah.
We have the contract ready to sign.
And then I'd like to
then you need to get out.
Yeah, I'll get out of here, but I want to hand these to...
Okay, I have that.
Keep us out of trouble. Don't get us in it.
Records, so I have my hard copy.
But this is painful. I mean, you and I setting up a company 2 weeks before you're ready to go. You know, it's like, okay, go. I got my attorney. I got this. I got my insurance. Let's go. And to sit here and there's nobody even here.
But we gotta go through protocol.
Wait. Oh.